and dunks by Smith. And no rebounds, if that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say, go New York, go New York, go.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of West Coast Knicks Fan. I'm your host, Matt Ritter. With me, as always, is Jeff Cerulli, and it was just his birthday. Happy birthday, buddy.
Oh, thank you, man. I'm older today than I was the last time the Knicks won, which was zero.
Yeah. He was in Atlantic City for his birthday. Did you put a bet on the Knicks to win the championship? What are the odds?
You can't do that in AC. Isn't that crazy? You can't. There's no like sports book in AC.
Wait, you can't bet on sports, but you can do everything else under the sun there?
Yeah. There's no sports book in AC. That's like Vegas. That's the only place you need sports betting. And offshore, if you want to do it online. No, I did not. So I didn't get to see too much of the Magic game because I was out drinking. And, I didn't even have MSG at the bar. They had, the playoffs, football playoffs. But I did see the rest of the games, but I didn't win money, and I didn't get to place a bet. But if I did, I would have put that Knicks will finish first in the Atlantic. I think that'd be a good bet. I think there'd be good money on that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the sports book in front of me, but I would bet the odds are probably 1-1, or probably more than 1-1. You probably have to bet 180 to win 100.
Yeah.
But, we'll catch you up on the games. I mean, I was not happy about the Portland game, bringing in the new year.
Terrible, man. You want to win the division, you got to win those games. Like the Heat, we all know the Heat are coasting right now. It's obvious. They're coasting, just trying to get to the playoffs. They'll take the 1 or 2 seed. I don't think they give a shit. You know what I mean?
I only disagree in the sense that I just don't think they're as good as they were last year.
Maybe not, but they're still coasting. And the Knicks are a team that it's like, you want to run the table. You want to have a good regular season. You can't lose to Portland at home. Like, I didn't talk to you when they lost to the Kings. Now, they were without Melo, but they were down 27 at one point to the Kings, who are probably one of the worst. They have one legit NBA player.
Yeah, I mean, Woodson, here's the problem, right? So Woodson addressed it last week, this whole coming out flat thing. And then yesterday against the Magic, they came out flat and they let up 39 points in the first quarter to a team that has no offense at all, has no good players. The Orlando announcer ends up their announcements with an at point guard from Temple, Jameer Nelson. I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, when Jameer Nelson is your big name guy that you're cheering, I mean, you're a CBA level team.
There's a reason they have 12 wins. They're not a very good team. They play hard as a team. That's the thing. They do play hard. So if you come out flat on them, they can jump on you.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not inconceivable to lose to them because they play hard and they play as a team. But
yeah,
still,
I think you can say that about all the teams the Knicks are playing. Like if you come out flat, you're going to lose some games to teams,
Yeah, even the Kings, man. The Kings, I think, are like, they're just not a professional team. And to be down 27 to them is just inexcusable. Melo or no Melo, to be down 27.
Yeah, but I mean, look, it's
tricky without him, obviously.
It's tricky because the injuries are now really affecting us.
Uh huh.
And Felton not being there is really, really affecting us because Kidd, obviously, you look at what he can do. He's got a lot. There's so many things he brings to the table, but what he cannot do is guard any point guards in the NBA.
No. Can't do it.
He can't do it.
He can catch up a little bit. Like sometimes if he gets behind you, he can get that steal.
Yeah, I know, and I love that move, but how often can you really do that? I mean, he trails every pick and roll and he does that move, and probably 1 out of every 5 to 10 times he will get the steal, but you're still contending with 9 other times where he's out of position and we have a guy like Amari. The worst case scenario is when Amari is the other guy in that pick and roll defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you have him out of position, you have Kidd out of position, and we're just getting bludgeoned. And then Tyson Chandler has to cover for so many people. It's really getting out of control.
Yeah, and like we're talking about that King game, and even with that said, the one thing I like about this team is they don't quit.
No, they haven't quit on one game. They haven't quit on one game in the entire season. I think they're the only team in the NBA you could say that about.
Houston. They quit on Houston. They were done in that game.
Well, they even tried to make a mini run. You're talking about the first game?
Yeah, both.
Yeah.
But even that Kings game, they're down 27. They came back and they were up by five with like 50 seconds left. And you're like, that's it. They're going to win this.
Yeah,
that's
well,
it.
Actually, that was Kidd's worst play of the year, I would say. He had a turnover. That was his worst play of the season.
Yeah, it was bad. He had some bad plays on the stretch. And then even then, they're up two going down. They're up two. They have the ball. And then, yeah, the Kidd play. And Cousins swatted it. And then who's the guy? Johnson.
He hits that. James Johnson. I mean, you know, I thought you just preached, don't let him shoot a three. I mean.
Yep. So that loss hurt. And then we're getting into this Portland one here where it just came out so flat. They're down 19. Melo and Amari are finally playing together. You think that's a win. You don't want to. They're definitely going to win this game.
Portland, I didn't think that, man. Portland's young and hungry and athletic.
They're a solid team for what they are, and Lillard's obviously the real deal. He's getting a lot of respect right now. But
yeah,
man, oh man, I was like, God damn, that's a win. I thought. I mean, you want to take care of business at home, and Melo played fantastic. He had 45 points that game. He was a beast. And then he goes to the bench, and they're down like 15, like that.
I mean, our second unit is really, really looking horrible right now. And I don't think there's an answer, unfortunately. I mean, you have Amari. Hopefully Amari comes around. He started, actually, you know, against Orlando, he had a much better game. Offensively, he did a couple things. He had a couple nice post moves. He slipped a couple screens for dunk here and there. J.R. Smith and him connected a couple times. I mean, I could see him obviously only helping the second unit, but right now, you know, we're getting nothing from Brewer, nothing from Prigioni. It's just, you know, there's just not enough weapons.
Well, I will say Prigioni had a great game against the Spurs because he loves Manu and he has to show Manu how good he is.
You think that was him showing up his countrymen?
He loves Manu, yeah. Here's what I'll say. Here's where I'm worried about Amari and where I'm not. So they lose to Portland. And even that game, the down 19, they come back. Everyone in the building thought when they were down three and Melo shoots at three, it's going in. You know, Melo's shooting great from 3-point percent, 3-point land. But you thought that was going in. I thought that was going in. Everyone thought that was going in. And then Lillard hits a big shot. But you want to talk about Tyson Chandler there. That non-box out on Aldridge killed us because they're down three at that point. And then Aldridge gets in, gets the rebound, puts it back. Now you're down five.
Yeah.
That sucked. I mean, I love Tyson, but that was fucking shitty.
I mean, you know, he had a real hard time. He has a hard time with some of these young bigs. I mean, this guy Vucevic last night had 18 rebounds and was consistently beating him to position.
Yeah, Vucevic is not Dennis Rodman in his prime, but he's a serviceable big man. But anyway, yeah, so you lose to Portland, and they're now on a two-game losing streak. You're like, uh-oh, San Antonio's coming to the Garden. But luckily, they caught San Antonio, what? It was like the fourth game in five nights.
Yeah.
We were able to just blow past them.
Yeah, no, that was clearly just San Antonio's old and tired. And, you know, I like the idea, though, that when you're playing a team on the fourth night, you blitz them and you get up big and then they had to sort of quit, you know?
Well, Popovich, like, pulls his starters in, like, the second quarter.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. I love the idea of, like, using the knowledge that you have, blitz them, get up 20, and you know they're not going to fight.
Duncan, go start the car.
Go get the car started, honey. Yeah, the car started.
Told Duncan to start the car in the beginning of the third quarter. He's like, yeah, this isn't worth it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure by the fourth quarter he was already showered and he had already brushed his hair.
And we also saw the debut, which I kind of got in a little debate with you via text of Camby and Chandler starting the Thin Towers.
Well, yeah, Jeff wants to coin the term Thin Towers, and we all know he coined the term Raymond Felton. He gets full credit for that. Did you start selling T-shirts for that yet?
No. I the most I did is tweet Alan Hahn for him to say it, and he didn't tweet
Why
that.
Is Alan Hahn not on our podcast? He hasn't responded to me. I mean, we've had Frank Isola, Jared Swirling, Ian Bigley. These guys are bigger names than you, Alan Hahn.
Yeah, Alan Hahn, shame on you. Shame on you.
Shame on you.
We'd love to get Alan Hahn, and no, but the Thin Towers, you were debating me, but I'm like, Chandler is still a thin guy. You just said he has trouble with these big men.
You know what? Why don't we take it to Twitter? Tomorrow, let's tweet at – you know, I started a new handle for us, West Coast Knicks, because I got tired of bombarding my non-Knick followers with Knick stuff. Why don't we take it to Twitter tomorrow, see if they like the name The Thin Towers, and that'll solve it. I just think Tyson Chandler's jacked.
He's big. He's cut, but he's still a thin guy. Like, when you think of Andrew Bynum, he's, like, big. When you think of Dwight Howard, he's jacked, but he's also big. Chandler is a kind of a he's a thin dude. He's skinny.
I don't think anyone would agree, but we'll see tomorrow on Twitter what people say.
We'll take it to the streets.
Because I really don't think of him as a thin guy at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see, man. I had a few people on my side.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, don't try to get them to be biased. Just ask the question, you know?
Yeah, we'll throw it out there.
We'll throw it out into the Twitter sphere. If they like the Thin Towers, then we'll start calling them Thin Towers.
Well, what do you think of that when you start? Cammy's actually kind of becoming borderline serviceable, and I think you play him over Kurt Thomas any day of the week.
Yeah, well, here's the issue. On defense, it's a great upgrade because he's a great weak side shot blocker. He does a lot of those where, you know, you think he's out of the play, and he comes and swats it. It helps with rebounding. He also is a good passer from the high post. He had a couple of good passes out of the high post. The problem is then you have two big men, neither of whom can shoot outside of 2 feet.
Yeah.
Kurt Thomas could hit the 16-footer. I don't know why he stopped doing it, but...
And he still kind of wasn't hitting any this year. He maybe has like 3 shots.
The answer is we need Rasheed Wallace a lot more than we thought we did.
Who knew? Novelty player A is going to be such a... When is he coming back? Because he was really... I didn't like the Jack and the 3 no matter what. I must take it, but... He's their best defender. I said it when I saw him in a few games. Best defender, best instincts. That goes to Chandler, too. I think he's the best rebounder.
You know, look, I think Wallace's day-to-day foot issues, I don't know, man. You know, he's a 40-year-old man. And
what is with the Knicks with that, Matt, with everyone being day-to-day? Like, they're like even when Felton got hurt. Like,
do we have to fire our trainer? What do you think?
What's that?
Do we have to fire our trainer?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. And it was like with Lynn last year when Lynn got hurt. Remember they were real hush-hush about it and then finally.
I think their PR guy is not telling the truth, I guess is what that means.
It all hinges on Dolan. Dolan has like a gag on our
yeah,
people.
Yeah, Dolan's like, we have to make sure we are always deceiving our fans. Whatever we do, we must deceive our fans.
Same thing with Amari. When Amari got hurt in the beginning of the year, he's going to be out like a day or two. And then it was like, oh, no, he has a cyst. They got to take it out. He's going to be out, you know, 2 months. So I don't get. They did the same thing with Rasheed Wallace day to day. You don't know when he's going to be back.
You know what's frustrating is if they're also telling their fellow teammates, like I hope they're at least – I hope internally at least they know how long they're going to be without these guys, you know?
Yeah. Because, I don't know anyone knows. I picture him not being back till the All-Star break, to be honest, Rasheed.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm of the mindset now, sort of. I know a lot of people probably don't like hearing this, but I think Melo needs to sit out a few more games, man. His knee, he's playing incredible, but you can see he's laboring.
They're lucky, man. Well, that hit he took from Camby on the Laker game, and that could have been a season.
By the way, Jeff, he's still struggling with that, man. If you watch the Orlando game, he's really struggling.
Yeah, it's lingering, and he's playing great. I saw in the Spurs game at the end when he got hit, he limped up. And it sucks, but the bench is, like you said before, what can you do about it? Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, because if Melo doesn't play, we lose every game on the schedule.
It's just thin. Yeah, you need Melo right now. Without Felton and with – well, here's what we were getting into Amari. We have to talk about Amari because Amari came back. We're all waiting for this. And the first game, he was terrible. He was terrible.
Yeah.
But it's sort of excusable because he hasn't played in a while. And he's getting I still think he has decent instincts, and I like what I'm seeing. But what I don't like what I'm seeing is that he's getting his shot blocked a lot again.
I don't think he has any lift whatsoever. I think he got shorter. Is it possible he got shorter through surgery?
Like your grandma shrinks?
Actually, I was looking at him next to Melo. I think he's shorter than Melo now.
Yeah, Grandpa Stoudemire. Yeah, I just...
He's slouching. I think he slouches. I think he slouches before he shoots. He gathers, and then he slouches, and then he gets a shot block like 6 times in a row.
He got his shot blocked by, I don't know who it was, in that Spurs game. He got it blocked like a few times, and it's like, because sometimes, like, he's trying to force it, like he takes it, and he's in such bad position. He's like behind the backboard, kind of, and he'll just start pumping it and changing his pivot.
Yeah,
foot
he's
and,
like the kid. You know, he's like the kid when you play in your driveway who's like shooting behind the backboard, over the backboard, like the trick shot.
Well, are you encouraged by this?
It's horrible. I mean, he's a disgrace right now. But look, it's 3 games. We got to give him at least another, you know, 5 to 10 games to get his bearings for real.
Yeah, I'm not ready to jump off, like I said, but it's just
I'll tell you what, the encouraging thing is he's playing okay and his mid-range game isn't there yet.
No, I mean, he's had a lot of shots rim out.
Yeah, I mean, because that's, you know, that's really his bread and butter. That's going to be the move, you know, the, you know, pick and roll and then, you know, pick and pop or, you know, pick and roll on the other side and he's open for the, you know, wide open 18-footer when they, you know, when they're moving around.
And it's got to be. And it's it was happening with Smith a little bit. Amari and Smith are trying to, like, work each other out. And that's I mean, that's great for your second team.
I think
you
that
know?
Could be a really lethal pick-and-roll combo, J.R. Smith and Amari. And Prigioni hit him for a nice pass, too, for a dunk.
Yeah, Prigioni, he's playing all right. I don't know. You were shitting on him before, and I know you're not a huge fan, but he's playing all right.
Well, yeah, he just can't shoot, and he turns the ball over whenever you pressure him. But other than that, he's fine.
I think he's a little bit better of a ball handler than you give him the credit.
No, no, he's like Jeremy Lin level. As long as you have an athletic guy on him, he'll turn the ball over.
What do we do about Ronnie Brewer? I mean, I know he played well that Spurs game, but what do you do, man?
I mean, you know, you cut him when Shumpert comes back. I don't know.
You think so?
I mean, you're not going to cut him over White, right? What's that?
He was playing really well in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a confidence thing or what, but like I said, you are what your stats say. He's a 29% shooter from outside, and you can't have a 29% shooter be the guy that you're going to kick it to. The stats don't lie. He's down to the 20s shooting threes now.
Yeah, but Shumpert is not much better shooting the three. I don't think you cut him. I mean, if anything, you're cutting James White, my boy, James Flight White.
Well, we can't cut White till after he gets into the dunk contest.
Yeah, I was just listening to David Lee Grantland podcast with Simmons, and he said that in high school, McDonald's All-American, he won the dunk contest. And they said, who did you beat?
I know, I heard
James
it.
White.
I heard that.
James Flight White.
He said Flight White dunked it from past the foul line, and David Lee did a through the legs one to win it.
Yeah, it was probably just because he's white. You know, it's like a novelty.
Yeah, it is a big novelty, but surprising that David Lee won a dunk contest.
Well, it's like Nate Robinson will win. It's like a novelty, you know, short black guy or the white guy. But I don't know, man. I mean, when is Shumpert supposed to come back? I know they say he's practicing.
I think probably March 1st, if I had to guess.
You think that far away?
Well, what are we? Oh, no, February 1st. I'm sorry. I thought we were in February or January. I would think probably February 1st.
Yeah, and I like Amar's attitude here. I think he's obviously got a good attitude, and he's being, you know, rah-rah, sis-quim-ba about the team. But I didn't see the Orlando game. What did you see out of that?
No, Amari looked better than he did the game before. He's steady. And he played with Melo. You know, okay. they were not congesting each other's path. It was good. I mean, look, Melo was just – The guy's unbelievable. And I got in a big fight on Twitter with some stat geeks. They're going to come on the podcast next week because they argue that Melo is overrated and blah, blah.
Yeah, not this season.
Yeah.
Take your stats back because this season he's the team. He's carrying
the – I know, that's what I'm saying, but their stats don't – I said you have to change your metric. If Melo isn't showing up as one of the top players in the league, then you're missing something with your algorithm.
You are, because he's doing it all on both ends, and teams in first place. So
if you ask anybody around the league who's played the Knicks, I mean, if you just ask any player on any team that's played the Knicks this year, they'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just it's the stats don't do justice to what he's doing. If you're saying he's overrated this year, I can understand in the past when he maybe was just scoring and blah blah blah, but certainly not this year. I mean, look what happened in that Sacramento game when he's not there. Look what happened in that Chicago game when he wasn't there. Like, it's just they're. I mean, I know they beat the Heat that one game that he wasn't there, but without him, man, they struggle.
Yeah, and by the way, Melo hasn't had one game that I would call a bad game this entire season.
One, and he passed it. What was the game early on? It was the Spurs game where the Spurs tried to really take him out of it.
Well,
but
he didn't have a bad game. He just, you know, passed the ball. I mean, that doesn't mean you won and you only scored 9 points because they were doubling you. That doesn't mean you had a bad game.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, in terms of bad shooting where he...
But I'm saying just bad game in general. Like, if you were going to say, oh, he had a bad game. Melo has not had one bad game. I'm sure LeBron hasn't had any bad games this year because he never has bad games. But other than LeBron and maybe Durant, there's probably nobody else in the league who hasn't had a bad game.
Yeah, I mean, who do these stat geeks like them this year? Just the normal Durant, LeBron?
Yeah, no, just for some reason, Melo doesn't show up in their win share metric highly. I don't get it, you know?
Yeah, well, see what they say.
Well, yeah, no, I know. Well, listen, we'll talk to him next week. But let's get into the schedule this coming week because we do have a pretty tough one. It ends easily enough, but we have Monday. We have Boston tomorrow at home, followed by at Indiana. They're playing really, really well. And then we have home for the Bulls on Friday, and then we have home for New Orleans Hornets.
Yeah, the one thing about lately with the schedule is for the first time, it's been very win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. You know, so it's a little bit of a concern. You want to get on another 6-7 game tear, which might not be possible with all these injuries.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible right now. I don't think it is. I can tell you where it is going to be possible. I'll tell you in the schedule, early February. At the end of January, we have Orlando, Milwaukee, Sacramento, Detroit, Washington. That should be a 5-game winning streak.
Yeah, and then a lot of people should be back by then.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, we said it before. I mean, this month is just about coasting to get through January to get to February when everybody comes back, and that means Amari at full health again.
Yeah, I mean, listen, let's get through the month and be 30-15. You know.
Yeah, I mean that I'd be delighted by that if they could get to 30-15.
Yeah, I mean that would mean 7-5 in the next 12 games.
That's fine just because of the injuries. But here's the thing, Boston, they just won two, but they've been showing kind of their age, and I've seen some games that they've really got blown past. Like, I kind of like the Knicks tomorrow, especially if it's at home. I think they win tomorrow.
Yeah, I do too. Oh, by the way, I liked Kobe's comment that the Lakers couldn't win because they're old, and then everybody immediately pointed to the Knicks.
Yeah. And first it was Mike Brown's fault. Now it's D'Antoni's fault. Now we're old and slow. And then it's going to be Steve Nash's fault. And
yeah,
then
I know. Next thing you know, he's going to be lumping Steve Nash in with Smush Parker, you know?
And then it's
Kobe's going to be like, man, you don't know what it's like to have to play with Steve Nash and Dwight Howard and Pau Gasol.
Yeah, it's really terrible. Yeah, so I mean, I'm loving. I mean, anybody should be loving.
I love that the Clippers handed it to them too.
The Clippers, man, they can't keep up with them. Not at least not in the regular season. Well, are you concerned about the Nets coming on right now?
I wouldn't say concerned. I'm actually sort of pleasantly, surprised to see them rounding into form. I mean, I thought they were better than a 500 team for sure.
Because the Nets, I mean, they were like, when I saw them play the Knicks, I said to my friend who's a Nets fan, the game that the Knicks killed them, I was like, what is your identity? This team is not good.
Well, they're getting the ball inside more. Joe Johnson's actually starting to play decently.
But they were on just a bad stretch. I'm just like, dude, this team has no identity. Don't like it. But then ever since then,
they're 19-15. Yeah, I mean, they're playing well. They're playing well.
They lost to the Spurs. They got killed. But then since then, they beat Oklahoma City at home.
Yeah, no, I know. I watched a little bit of that game, and they looked really good.
They routed them. I mean, here's the thing. Let's not get too crazy because they beat the Wizards in overtime, and the Wizards are not a professional basketball
team. And they beat the Kings by 20, so.
No, we lost to the Kings. They were still home. So we'll see. Right now the Knicks are only 4.5 above the Nets. So it's not like they're like, 8-10 games up. They're the Nets are still there.
Well,
they got to work
on them. I mean, that's a scary thing. As well as the Knicks are playing, you're seeing a lot of teams rounding to form. The Pacers, being the next game on the schedule after Boston, really, really playing well. They're 19-14.
That's a game we could lose. That they're a different team. It's in Indiana. I think they will be Boston. Indiana, I could see it going either way.
Yeah, I mean, they're real tough. You know what they are? They're tough.
Yeah, we played them last time. They killed them,
yeah.
I thought. They just really took care of them. That was in the first stretch. And then what is with the Knicks playing like shit on Friday? Did you notice that?
I didn't. Is that a trend? Are we a bad Friday team?
Well, I'm looking at they only have about 6 Friday games all year. There's not many.
You think J.R. Smith goes out on Thursdays? Is that his big night out?
They lost to Memphis on Friday. Then they got destroyed by the Rockets on that Friday. They did beat the Wizards. I'm looking at the schedule now. And then the next game was the Bulls, where they lost on a Friday. And then they lost to Sacramento on a Friday. So that's 4 to 5 losses.
I think it's probably J.R. Smith hitting the clubs on Thursday nights.
So they have Chicago again this Friday.
You know, I'm really, I don't know, man. Chicago gives us fits.
Can you beat Because Thibodeau is a great coach, and the Knicks, you know, they shoot the three.
And Noah neutralizes Chandler extremely well.
Bulls is a tough game, but can we not beat them? Are you serious? We're going to lose to them three times in a row.
No, we have to win that game. It's at home. We have to win that game.
I don't believe there's a Friday night curse, but I'm just saying.
I think we have to win it because of pride and also because of the playoff matchups. Like, you got to beat these guys. They have Derrick Rose coming back.
That's the problem. You don't want to be a two seed. Chicago's like, well, Chicago's going to probably be like a four or five seed at this
point.
Look,
I mean, so here's the thing. I was actually thinking about that. The Eastern Conference can break a number of ways right now because now that Indiana, the Nets, Atlanta, and Chicago are all playing well, any of those teams could get the three seed.
Yeah. Yeah, so you want to get that one, ideally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, it sort of depends.
Don't lose to the Blazers at home. You can get the one seed.
Let me ask you this. Second round, who would you rather play? Indiana, Chicago with Derrick Rose? Indiana with Danny Granger back, Chicago with Derrick Rose back, or the Nets? I'd rather play the Nets.
Nets. Yeah, I'd rather play the Nets. But it's also based on the fact that they just killed the Nets.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, I think ideally we'd like it to fall. Atlanta, I think we could handle easily.
Yeah, we haven't played them yet, but I think we would beat Atlanta. I think they're a poor man's version of us.
Yeah, so they're I hope if we're at two, then Atlanta is three, you know? And it's just tricky because I don't want to play the Bulls. I don't want to play the Bulls with Derrick Rose. I really don't.
Of course not.
And I would like to play the Nets. I fear nothing about them. I don't fear Indiana either. I really fear the Bulls at full strength.
I don't care about the Nets. I'd play the Nets. I'd play the Pacers too.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is all contingent upon, you know, when Felton comes back, we're going to be rolling on all cylinders. Like, next month, we're going to have Shumpert, Felton, Stoudemire now fully integrated into the team. I mean, we're going to be the best team, you know, or second best team in the Eastern Conference. We're going to be better than these teams.
Plus, Copeland will have more time than him.
Yeah, Copeland will figure out how to take two dribbles without, you know, stumbling over his own 2 feet.
I want to call him Coltland because he's like a baby Colt who can't get his legs straight.
That,
he's
Coltland.
Just born. His legs are like when he dribbles, it is just like, what are you doing?
You know what he does that I think is hilarious? It's such a high school move. He has to look down at the ball, it seems like.
I thought you were going to do how he does, like, the shake and bake.
He does that, but he looks down at the ball while he's dribbling, I think.
Gotta love me some Cope. But, yeah, that's what it's about, Matt. It's just about coasting, like we said, get 7-5 this month. So when you get everybody stocked up, then you make the run to the finals.
All right, Wood, so then what's your prediction? So you say win, Boston, lose, Indiana. Oh,
Sunday, too. Sunday, New Orleans. They're going
to
win that
They got to win that. I mean, look, I would like to go 3-1 this week, but I think we might – I think we're going to lose to Indiana. I do.
Yeah, I'm thinking 3-1.
Yeah, I'll take 3-1. I'd be very happy with 3-1. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're 2-2 and lose to the Bulls also.
Nah, I would see 2. The Bulls, man, that's a tough game. That is a tough game for them. What have the Bulls been doing lately? I mean, like, they played the Knicks both times really well. I mean, that last time they played them, the Knicks were down by, like, I know the score, they cut it, but, like, the Knicks were down by, like, 30. They were losing 18 to, like, 3 for the game just started.
Yeah. I don't like the way the Knicks fall asleep at the beginning of a game, man. It's really disturbing.
Bulls are 18 and 13. They just beat the Heat.
Yeah. Do you want to do our top 5 Knicks of the week?
Let's get into it. But, yeah, and then I'm looking real quick at the week. After that, the Nets and the Celtics and Philly and Atlanta, like, those are winnable games too. I really want them to fuck the Celtics. I mean, the Celtics have kind of just been in there, you know, the Celtics.
Yeah, I would like
one is physical, like any other.
Yeah, I think we got to beat Boston. We got to beat Boston.
It's that Bulls game. I'm not even too scared of the Pacers, to be honest. I think if Melo's healthy and.
Yeah, the Pacers, I mean, the Pacers don't have anybody to give the ball to at the end of a game.
I worry about, that Bulls game. That's it, man. A 3-1 would be a good week. That'd be fair.
All right, so let's go into our top 5 Knicks of the week.
Okay. What do you have?
Number 5 this week, I have Chandler. He had sort of an up-and-down week. I just feel like he's letting these younger bigs get inside position on him. He's not shooting free throws well at all. He had an air ball yesterday in Orlando from about 8 feet away, a jump shot, which was pretty embarrassing. So he just didn't have his normal consistency this week.
Well, he's usually good for one of two with the free throws. That's usually his MO.
No, but last year he was up to, I think, 70%. So it's a little bit of a regression. But I put him at number five this week.
All right. No, I kind of didn't put him. That box set really killed me.
Yeah, so he's not on your list. So who do you have as your five?
Novak for coming back. Novak disappeared for half the year, who does nothing, but San Antonio shooting 5 of 7. Novak is back, baby. He's back.
Yeah, he didn't make my list. He had a really nice game, but then he disappeared again, I think.
Yeah, well, he's going to do that, but you know what? I'm not expecting a ton from him, so.
All right. So who's your number four?
Four, I put, because he came back and he tried, Amar Stoudemire, first time on the list, Stat City.
Okay.
Which looked like fish out of water city that first game. But then, you know, San Antonio, he played well, and it's nice to see him back, and I'm going to put him number four.
I am putting at my number four, I got to give him credit, even though I've been crapping on him. Prigioni.
Okay.
I have to give him a little credit because he stepped up minutes-wise. I mean, these are a lot of minutes he's playing. He's playing a lot of significant minutes. He's running the point with Kidd together. And, you know, he's keeping us in all these games. And, you know, he's gotten more aggressive. He hit a couple threes. You know, he had a couple scoop layups. He made a couple nice passes to Amari. I got to give him credit. This might be the only time he makes my list this year.
We'll see if I have him. I'm not going to tip my hand yet, but it's very, very mature of you to put him on your list.
So my number three, we're doing this like snake style, right? So it's my pick again. My number three, actually is, J.R. Smith. He's had a tremendous week. That dunk that he had, that reverse dunk, did you see that?
How low was the ball when he scooped it up?
I mean, that was like Dominique. Under his ball. That was Dominique in his prime level.
He's insane.
And he's just shooting the ball lights out. I mean, he has that reverse that doesn't look like he should be turning that way, but he turns the wrong way and he hits this jumper, and it's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what we're getting out of him is insane. I'll get to him in a second. Number three, I put, I don't know if you've heard of this guy, Carmelo Anthony.
No, what is he? What is he on the Knicks? Is he,
He's rated as different scale because he would be one every week and it'd be kind of boring.
No, I agree. Listen, I agree with you. I mean, obviously.
Great.
Yeah, just so our listeners understand, you know, Melo would rate out at number one every single week if we didn't make it a little fun.
Yeah, Melo had 2 40-point games. You know, the team misses him. Like, I'd be God, man. That freaking. That Portland game when he sat down and they just shot down like 15, just, you know, when they get in that shit offense, it's like one shot, nothing, no transition D, one shot. It's just like, you know, but that's every team when they're not playing good basketball. It's not just the Knicks. But Melo, I put him three, so now we're at two. Did you did your third. You had J.R. Smith.
Yep.
Number two, I had. And your boy, ole, 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 Pablo Prigioni for having a great game against the Spurs. Steady work off the bench. I think he's a better ball handler than you give him credit for. I don't think you can steal from every time. And also, here's something you're not getting him credit for. He gets like a steal a game off the inbound.
Yeah,
like,
he's got the league leader in inbound steals. That's what I call the annoying steal.
It's great. It's a total NBA 2K move. And
annoying. That's such a move. You know what that move is? That's the move that gets the opposing point guard fined by his coach.
I like it. I'm number two for me, Pablo Prigioni. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, well, my number two is Melo. And I got to say, look, obviously he'd be my number one every week. But, I mean, if you watched these games this week and you watch basketball your whole life, you know what an MVP candidate looks like. If this guy is not in your MVP conversation, again, ESPN did it again at the, like, you know, 40% mark, and it was just LeBron and Durant all across the voting board. And I don't know what else the man could – I mean, he's playing as well as he could play, and I think that that's good enough for MVP talk. I don't know what he could do. I don't know what LeBron and Durant are doing that he's not. I can't see it.
He's not going to win MVP. He won't. They won't have an MVP. It's either going to be Durant or LeBron. It's just that's how it is.
Tell me what they're doing that he's not.
Here's what I will say about Durant. Durant has a superstar in Westbrook, and Melo does not. Melo has some good players, but no one like Westbrook. Imagine Westbrook and Melo. Now, that might not work out, but he doesn't have anyone like that. Now, LeBron probably rebounds better than Melo, we could say. I can't imagine him shooting a higher three-point percentage than Melo. I have not looked, but Melo is just killing it from three-point range. LeBron just does everything, but he's got Wade, and Wade is, you know, you've said it too. He's probably not the player he once was, but it's his. As long as the Heat win it, it's his to lose. I mean, to me, an MVP is like, let's say the Knicks win the Atlantic, and they're in the second round. That's when the MVP is announced, right? The second round? Is it second or third? Second round, right?
Yeah.
It's a second, because I remember that year Dirk's team lost to the Warriors. And then the next round, he got presented, and it was the first time in a while that the guy wasn't still playing.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. He was like in a studio with David Stern. But how is he not MVP? If he took a team that sucked pretty much last year, they didn't do anything, they lost in the first round, and then now we won the Atlantic and we're in the second round. Like, how is that not an MVP? And he's putting up, and he's the reason you're doing it, he's putting up all world stats. How is he not? You know? But it's probably going to go to LeBron or Durant.
Yeah, well, look.
Or Paul, maybe.
Yeah, that's what annoys me, too, right? Because then you get into Paul. Like, how does Paul get it, leapfrog, Melo? I mean, I just don't get it.
Well, Paul, I mean, that team won 17 in a row. Like, Paul's the same idea as Melo in a sense of, like, taking a shit team and making it go.
Yeah. I'm just saying, our second best player is J.R. Smith. You know, their second best player is Blake Griffin.
Do you start J.R. Smith, man? I mean, Ronnie Brewer's giving you nothing.
No. We need that offense off the bench at the end of the quarters.
I don't know, man.
No. And so then my number one for the week, and this is not based on performance. This is based on emotions. Amari Stoudemire giving the team an emotional lift. It's exciting. We gave him a nice standing ovation when he checked in. I'm excited. I give him the number one excitement vote.
Yeah. By the way, I just looked it up. LeBron James shooting 404 from 3-point percentage. Melo 435. And Melo is number 7. So for everyone that's saying, like, LeBron's never shot the three better, and he's hit 42, and Melo's hit 73. So what the – like, I thought that was going to be way up. Melo's hit 73 three-pointers, and LeBron's hit 42. So what's with this about he's shooting the ball so well this year from three-point range?
Yeah.
I'd give it to Melo, not to be biased over LeBron, but I just think with just the way it goes, because LeBron just stuff.
No, look, I mean, I've given up on Melo actually winning MVP because it's not going to happen this year, but I just would like him in the conversation, that's all.
Matt Bonner shooting 474, but I'll tell you, man, oof, that Knick game, he had like 4 or 5 bricks, Matt Bonner.
Yeah.
Oof.
Look, Novak has games where he's just off from three.
But and Stephen Curry, 450, who I love. Stephen Curry is nasty. Stephen Curry, you know he's going to shoot that three, and he still steps back and is able to hit it on the dribble.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's probably the best shooter in the NBA now.
I think he's the best. Like, he's
pure,
hit 99.
Like, pure shooter. He's probably the best pure shooter.
Dude, he's so good. Good thing the Knicks couldn't draft him that year. Remember what they said about the Knicks? I think it was Mark Stein said that, like, people are interested in Steph Curry, but you didn't know if it would translate because he's so small. And it's like, is he a point guard? Is he not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they said that the Knicks were, like, so high on him. Like, the Knicks were in love with him. And they started working him out early. And then other teams were like, what is this about? And then the Warriors took him, like, one before, you know? Now, obviously, that's probably not true. But it's just a funny, like, everything goes wrong with the Knicks story. But hey, we got Jordan Hill, and he's one of the legends. So, not bitter about that draft.
No, we got Jordan Hill, man. He's a third string backup center. He's really doing work for an under .500 team.
Dude, how did we not end up? I don't even understand that fucking draft, man. We needed a point guard, and we took Jordan Hill. Like that draft still. I'll never.
Yeah, no, that draft sticks in my craw, but so do all of them.
That was the Ty Lawson, Raymond Felton draft, right?
No. Raymond Felton's older. Felton was Darren Williams and Chris Paul.
2008 draft.
Yeah. Yeah, Felton's much older.
No. It was 2000. I think it was 2000. Was it the 2009 draft?
Curry?
Yeah, Felton was way before that. You're right. But I think it was the Ty Lawson draft.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, it was the Rubio draft.
Yeah, we could have had a lot of guys.
That, let me tell you something. This draft, they were like thinking they were at least getting Johnny Flynn, who's garbage anyway. But because it was Ricky Rubio, Johnny Flynn, and Steph Curry. They're like, we're going to get one of these
guys.
They
all went before 8, right?
And they all went. Steph Curry went 7, and we had 8.
Who went after that? What point guards went after that?
Oh, Brandon Jennings. We didn't take him.
Oh.
Well, the thing was Hashim Thabeet was 2, who's a boss, too. Apparently, he's on the
Thunder. The Grizzlies, right? Thunder.
Yeah, he got the Grizzlies, and then, you know, Harden, Tariq Evans, who I don't care about Tariq Evans, Rubio at 5, then Johnny Flynn 6, and then Steph Curry 7. Steph Curry was the guy I had the biggest heart on for. I was like, I didn't even know if he'd work out as well as he did, but I was like, I just loved watching him in college, like in the tournament. And, you know, I'm a shooter, so I'm partial to those guys. I was like, Steph Curry would be so much fun to watch. And then, of course, Jordan Hill. Yeah, we didn't take Jennings, and then we didn't take Drew Holiday, who is having a fantastic year, too, at 17, and then Ty Lawson, 18. It's weird, man. Well, we did get Tony Douglas at 29, though.
So we could have had Drew Holiday or
It changes things, man. It changes stuff if you have that stuff. Now, maybe we have to give those up for Melo, and we don't get – you don't know. Things would be different, but – maybe we wouldn't have sucked as much, and I don't know. A lot of things would have changed, but let's say you do it right and you get Drew Holiday. Let's not worry about Steph Curry. Steph Curry taking, but you take someone like Drew Holiday. We needed a point guard. Who would you rather have, Drew Holiday or Ty Lawson or Brandon Jennings of those three that we didn't take?
Drew Holiday, Ty Lawson, or Brandon Jennings?
Yeah, those are three that were picked after 8.
We that's a good question. You know, that's a very good question. Very close call. I think Brandon Jennings is the best scorer of them. But he's sloppy and selfish, and he's just not a guy who you're going to win a title with on your team.
He's like Stephen Marbury.
Yeah, he's just a guy. I just have that vibe from him. Lawson is amazing energy. Offensively, you know, he blows by you, but he just doesn't have the size. Again, another guy I don't think you can win a championship with. He's not big enough. Drew Holiday is a perfect prototype. I think Drew Holiday, he's your prototypical point guard of the future.
I would take Drew Holiday, not the copy.
I mean, look, you know, the funny thing is those guys got the jump on him career-wise. I mean, this is his first year of blossoming into a star. But he has the upside, you know, he's still getting better, and he's already better than those guys, I think.
Drew Holiday's great. He shoots the ball really well.
Yeah, I would rather have Lawson second and then Brandon Jennings I just don't want.
Also, Darren Collison was available too.
Yeah, I would rather have Brandon Jennings. Collison's 4th on that list.
Yeah, I mean, Collison's an okay player. Yeah, this turned out to be a pretty good draft.
Not for us, but yeah.
Yeah, Blake, that was Blake first. Yeah, I mean, going into that, you're like, yeah, they're getting one of those guys. And Johnny Flynn was the boss. They were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, I mean, they picked one slot lower than they should. No, 8th. No, they picked exactly where they should have.
I wonder if they could have packaged Tony Douglas and Jordan Hill for Steph Curry.
Maybe the Warriors would have went for that. Tony Douglas.
You know what I think is funny? Warrior fans are morons. I mean, they booed their owner at the was it end of last year?
Yeah, but a lot of weird stuff's happened with them.
Why? The exact roster that he put together is doing great.
Yeah, but still, there's some stuff before that, like that people weren't happy with, and I get it. If you followed the whole history of the Warriors, like a lot of shitty things have happened.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like they owe him an apology.
Contract. I mean, I'm just thinking stuff off the top of my head. The Baron Davis thing, Donald Foyle, that 2017. Well, the 2017 was kind of, how long was that going to last? There's a lot of life.
They got lucky. I mean, there's luck. Yeah. They're a stinky team. Anyway. I mean,
you're number one Stoudemire, sentimental. I get it.
Yeah.
I put him four just because he's back. But my number one, I put J.R. Smith. All the reasons you said, and then he hit the game winner in Phoenix in a game that they should have lost because he, man, they that's a game they were lucky to win. They were up and they blew a big lead. What were they up, 19?
Yeah, 20. But you know, look, and then we lost to Sacramento on a buzzer beater. I mean, this is the way the NBA goes sometimes. You don't want it to come down to, you know, 1-point games.
Well, yep, they should have. They could have beat the Kings. They were up. And they could have lost to the Suns. So you basically split those. But still, nice shot for JR. Been very steady. Been hitting the shot. A lot of energy. I'm thinking about starting him. And he's number one this week. Enjoy it. Don't party, JR.
Nice. All right. Well, listen. I think that wraps up a nice way to start 2013. I'm excited about this week. I think this is a good telling week for our team.
Absolutely. Let's get through this to February, and then
you know, this is episode 10.
No, man, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I think so.
1 year anniversary.
One 10 episode anniversary. Yeah, 1 year. So all right, man. Well, listen. Let's enjoy a win tomorrow night against the Celtics, and we'll catch up with all the rest of our fans on Twitter. We'll just see if we can get the Thin Towers going.
Thin Towers.
Okay.
All right, dude. I'll see you, buddy.
Bye.